Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. This is Purpose Talk Radio. I am your host, Cindy Freeman. Today is April 19th, 2019. And in many circles, a very holy and other sacred day. Some people may not even be on the air or in the, listening to the radio, watching TV, doing anything because they recognize this in a certain way. Others may have a day off. Others may just be at work, and it really doesn't matter. Everyone is living their own destiny as they are bound to be doing for today. And that is part of the message of today's show as we continue with the spring cleaning series and cleaning out spiritually. As I said, my name is Cindy Freeman. I am your host. And, you know, Purpose Talk Radio comes to you on Fridays. Maybe you don't know, but it maybe we have a few new listeners because of than being off today. It comes to you at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. in the UK. And basically we talk about living your purpose, whatever that might mean, and doing so in a positive way as well. Purpose Talk Radio reached 500 likes on Facebook today. Well, not today, but it is listed as having 500 likes, which is absolutely wonderful. And much appreciated to those who have done so. Yes, we are on Facebook, and you can like us there. We also have a group called Purpose Talk Conversations. Now, that is there to continue discussions after the show. And what we would be talking about beyond things that happen on Purpose Talk Radio. Because some people listen live, and I'll tell you in a moment how you can be a part of that if you'd like. In addition to that, some people listen to the archives, and I am grateful for that as well. And the only way they can talk to us is through the Facebook page or by sending an email and continuing the discussion. So we'll get to those, like I said, momentarily. So you can participate in this live show if you're listening live a couple of different ways. One is if you are on the Purpose Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio site, you can simply go to the chat room if it decides it stays open for me. Sometimes it plays a little game and doesn't want to do that. But it should be open there momentarily. The other is that you can come on to Facebook and chat with us there. Okay, so first of all, the chat room is all the way down at the bottom of the page if you need it. The other is you can, like I said, come over to the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page where there is a post specifically for this show. Dated then, of course, April 19th with the theme. Excuse me. And the other, you can send email, excuse me, to cindy@purposetalkradio.com, cindy@purposetalkradio.com. Now, the best way, of course, and the easiest, is either via Skype if you are overseas, or if you're in the United States or have a U.S. phone number or Magic Jack or something like that, you can give us a call at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And we'll give those to you again a little bit as we chat through the show. So, as I said, we are continuing this spring cleaning series a bit on Purpose Talk Radio. And we've done a couple of different things about cleaning out your mind and your words and your thoughts. Your thoughts are your mind, you know? And how you can do some of that, changing your words, changing how you think, reading different things, looking at different newscasts, all those types of things that are part of life. Many of us, and I'm going to probably be very candid with folks in this show, and normally I don't open up quite as much as that. I normally say that spirituality, you know, no matter what we say, what our guests say, spirituality is an individualized activity, part of your life. And I continue to say that. So in this case, I say to you, take what you want, leave the rest. But in the process of your own individual spirituality, I'm going to share some of the things where I come from and why. Hopefully in the process of opening up to you and helping you find your own path as well. If you haven't already done that, or if you have, maybe honing it just a little bit. Now, throughout this show, too, I'm going to mention a few of the different holidays, holy days, sacred days that are celebrated today. Because you know what? The biggest, there are two that probably are considered the biggest right now. Today, most Christians celebrate Good Friday. And in that, they celebrate the death of Jesus and the crucifixion. And then through the upcoming days, they continue to into their celebration and their traditions of the resurrection of Christ as well. Now, I chose the resurrection of Christ as opposed to Jesus because some specify that. In my Unity tradition, where I tend to have developed my spirituality, you know, it is a Christ consciousness, a following of the internal in us as Christ has become part of us as well. Now, that's a whole other issue that I'm not going to get into, but, you know, again, the death and resurrection of Jesus seems to be pretty prominent around the world as a Christian belief. And then there are other pieces that follow because of that belief, whether there is a triune God and there's a Holy Spirit. And, you know, some people just accept the God part as part of this. They don't necessarily look at Jesus as being a specific person to come and save the world for us, but instead to be a leader, a guide, someone we look to as Buddha, Muhammad, Yoganandas, all of those people as well. And again, all of that is very, very individualized. And I subscribe that because of what we have decided and determined is our own spirituality, excuse me. What happens is that we have taken on certain traditions, certain roles, certain customs because of that. And therefore, we look at things a little differently based on those traditions and those belief systems. So, other traditions, faith traditions that work with today is that, you know, Good Friday, Passover, all of that has come out of the celebration of the full moon that comes after Easter. And what some people do or do not realize is that most of the other celebrations have come out of that custom. As folks have celebrated through the pagan custom. Now, somehow that has become a taboo word for many religions, which is interesting. Because I think, you know, they think of it as, I think I'm gonna go into the stereotype. You know, they think of it as related to a witch's brew or slaughtering animals or things like that. And you know what? It's not that at all. It is actually just the opposite. And I'm not quite sure where that all has come from over the time. It seems like instead what's happened is, it's become, instead of the worshiping of nature that many pagans look at, it has come to be a very demeaning, a very harsh look at that spiritual belief. There's a couple other things that have come, out of the religions as well. Right now, also today, the Jehovah Witnesses do look at they look differently at the whole of Easter and Jesus' death and resurrection because of the pagan belief that comes out of that. Again, it's choice, it's structure that they look at. But today they celebrate the Lord's Evening Supper and where they commemorate also the events that occurred as the first night of Passover in approximately 33 CE. So that's what they do today. And that's kind of where the Passover has come from also. Passover starts today, well, technically at sundown today for many. And that it's an day celebration and it's a festival in commemoration of the emancipation of the Israelites from slavery in ancient Egypt. It is not, again, you know, it's a celebration. It's an opening up to a little different beliefs. The interesting thing is a couple other religious beliefs have celebrated other things this week. And I really apologize if I slaughter the pronunciation of things. I've tried to look up some of them and I could not find something for them. On the 14th, the Sikhs celebrated the founding of their community with Vaisakhi Day. And the community of the initiated. Sorry about that. See, I can't even speak English on some words that I know. The Yans celebrated Mahavir Jahante. I don't know if I've done that. Commemorating a birth of their leader, their spiritual leader as well. So there's a lot that focuses around this particular week and doing these things. As many of us go into the next week, you know, we start celebrating Easter on Sunday. But in the meantime, from April 20th to May 2nd, there's the Festival of Ridvan, and the holidays are celebrated by the Baha'i faith, in which they commemorate the 12 days of celebration when their prophet and founder resided in the garden and publicly proclaimed his mission as God's messenger. So they're also celebrating their time of all of this. You know, coming up, we have Earth Day. Many people who subscribe to be atheists, who don't have a specified God, you know, will worship and pray to the earth as their tea, so to speak. Again, it's not specifically as a God, but as, you know, something greater than they are. 12-step programs look at these days and look at a higher power, something greater than themselves. They may pick any or all of these particular ones that I've described as being part of this. And they may subscribe to some of it and they may not subscribe to others. But that higher being, that entity that is outside of them, that helps them deal with what they need to. The Eastern Orthodox Church and the Oriental Orthodoxy celebrate April 20th as Lazarus Saturday, the day of the raising of Lazarus. Now, some folks look at, you know, in the Easter and look at the similar and Lazarus being part of their spirituality as well. And how, you know, the part he played in the scriptures. So there are many, many things that come about today. Now, you know what? Just for fun, I'm going to talk about a couple of things that most of you haven't heard about. And again, these are ways various people celebrate and make wonderful memories for the day. Today is also considered Bicycle Day, Dutch American Friendship Day, Garlic Day, Humorous Day, John Parker Day, National Amaretto Day, National Hanging Out Day. Hey, that looks pretty good for Good Friday for some people, right? You just hang out and delve into your spirituality. National Pro-Life T-Shirt Day, Oklahoma City Bombing Commemoration Day, which I'll get into also. Pet Owners Day, World Marbles Day. Now, here's the other kicker into all of this. You know, we've been talking about spring cleaning. So I'm going to tell you, the week of April 18th to the 24th is Cleaning for a Reason week. So if you haven't touched cleaning out of things in your life from the previous shows, this is a great week to do it. So also this week is Consumer Awareness, Global Youth Service Week, International Wild Film Week, Make Mine Chocolate. You know, I bet there's some people out there that worship chocolate. Hey, whatever it takes for you. National Animal Control Appreciation Week, National Animal Control Officers Appreciation, Dance Week, Dog Bite Prevention, Karaoke Week, Osteopathic Medicine, Public Safety Telecommunications Week, which is pretty important, which is why many of us had emergency tests of our emergency systems within the various cities. Passion Tide, Pan American Week, Week of the Young Child, Dancing Week. You know, there's any and everything. Okay, so how does all this come into spirituality? I bet you're wondering. You know, in my studies here this year, this semester, I have taken a multicultural class. And it has been absolutely probably the most eye-opening. It definitely has been the most experiential course I've taken. And it has opened my eyes to a lot of different customs And as I've looked at some of these things that have surrounded Easter and Passover this week, I've had an opportunity to look at my own spirituality. Where have I come from? Where am I now? Why? One of my favorite conversations with people is, why do you believe what you believe? What has brought you to the place that you are now? And, you know, I think many of us, if we look at some of this, we may discover that it is from our cultural heritage. And others, we may find out that it's just somewhere it's been drilled into us our whole life, and therefore, that's what we believe. But hopefully you've developed, and by the time we're done with this show, you're able to look at some of that stuff and say, hey, this is really my spiritual belief practice. This is why I have incorporated what I have, not just that I've been told to. So I found a particular website that outlines some of the customs based on various cultures, and in particular around Easter. And I'd like to go through a couple of those. And as you look at that, and as you think of some of your own culture, I'd like to encourage you to say, yeah, that is just culturally based for me, or no, it's something different. So in Europe, many European countries celebrate by lighting bonfires on the hilltops and in their churchyards on Easter Eve. I know as I was growing up in the Catholic faith tradition, we often had a Saturday night bonfire in celebration of the new, those who decided to become Catholics and had part of that. And we had baptisms and things like that as well. Specifically in England, there is it's an exchange of Easter eggs and other gifts, but that includes clothing and chocolates and holiday packages. You know, the baskets often were filled with daffodils as opposed to just candy. In Germany, Easter's known also by the term Ostern. And it goes for 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks of Ostern, not just this weekend or one day. So, it coincides. Many of them have their other spiritual beliefs as part of it. But Easter in and of itself is not necessarily connected to a spiritual belief. It's Ostern. It's a three-week celebration. In Austria, again, most of that is come in and celebrates based on however folks are bringing in their own traditions over time. In Mexico, and this happens to be the culture that I've chosen to study this whole semester. Well, beyond that, it's the Latinx community, those that are of Latino, Latina descent through the whole, from various countries, and Mexico just being one of them. But it seems like most of the people I've connected to are from Mexico and therefore have that connection. Semana Santa, and there's a second one, Pascua, I think is the pronunciation. Again, they're forms of Easter celebration. One standing for Holy Week, going from Palm Sunday to through Easter Saturday. And then, of course, we have Easter after that. And the other being the actual resurrection Easter Sunday. So they celebrate two separate things during this time. So the traditional Good Friday would be part of Semana Santa and that aspect. Of course, we know that the United States celebrates Easter and has its religious background, is more secular in that, you know, we have the Easter bunny and the candies and the baskets and the things like that that are part of it, which separates that particular part from the spiritual and religious thing. Although, again, some families somehow have combined them over the years. And that, you know, and that is how they celebrate. Some make sure they go to church to offset that religious and spiritual part from others. There's some places where there are bells that are rung from the church tops for 3 days while they celebrate from today, Good Friday, through Easter Sunday. And, for instance, in Rome, on Easter morning, the kids hurry into the gardens and they watch the bells fly back from Rome, or so it's said. Brazil, much a Latino country, and some areas are not, but they actually have their Easter celebrations taking place in autumn, where many of us have it being in springtime. So those who say that, you know, Easter is just, you know, has a lot to do with the baby chicks and the baby bunnies and the celebration of baby and springtime and new birth. In Brazil, it's really autumn. So for them, it's not connected to that rebirth time. For them, it would be more connected to the dying off of the various aspects of what is in their environment, you know, their trees, their all of that. Let's see, I'm going to give you a couple that are very different. In India, every festival, no matter what they do, is a really big deal. And in India, they do celebrate Easter, although there's only like 2.5% of the population that is Christian. It too is still a huge festivity for the people of that that culture. You know, we know most of the countries such as Poland, Norway, again, Spain. Spain would be very similar to Mexico in their celebration of the Semana Santa and what they do. Let's see, other countries, Sweden, we know, Canada, New Zealand, there are very much the Christian background celebrating with Easter and Good Friday and things like that. So, however, now we go back and we look at the pagan traditions. And where did some of the background of, as we celebrate it now, come from, and the Good Friday? You know, and where does that blend of spirituality come from? I said for pagans generally. Again, it's a little different for those that might be in Brazil. You know, what does paganism really mean? As opposed to what, you know, as opposed to what some Christians believe it to be, it's really that there is a polytheistic belief in that, in other words, there's not just a single God that they look at, and that they are have as a creator, as many of the Christian religions do. It now is its own religion. It wasn't originally, but again, they come from laying what is like the foundation of Easter. I wish I had thought about it. There was someone I could have brought on specifically to talk about being pagan, and I had not even considered it until just now. You know, that's how that works, isn't it? But it comes from their specific god of Esther, which was a Saxon mother goddess and the source of all things, bringing on new life. Also the dawn god of Ostara, and representing fertility and new birth as well. And the combination of that is where we get this celebration of Easter. There are other gods that are part of this as well in their spiritual belief. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce some of them, honestly, because it would just get all of us, embarrass all of us on the process of doing it. But as most of us realize, you know, this sacred weekend, both Passover and the Easter weekend, the Good Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or even Holy Thursday for some people, or Maundy Thursday, both of those major faith traditions move in the calendar, and they move based on the vernal equinox. You know, that Easter, that's day spring that we celebrate. And it revolves around when we have our moon, the first moon of spring, in association with that. So all of that, even that part of it, is related to the pagan or the cycles of nature. So for most of the Western Christians, Easter is celebrated for all of the Western Christians, actually. Easter is celebrated the first Sunday after the first full moon, following the vernal equinox. Now, that first full moon, technically it's night. You know, as we celebrate a pink moon, even though it won't appear pink, but it's called a pink moon. And so, you know, if we think about when spring came, it's pretty late this year in all of this. And sometimes we have it much earlier, depending on when and how that all rotates. And Passover similarly, because seldom do we have these weekends, these days falling as closely as we have right now, in that Passover and Easter traditions are falling on the same days. I don't know how common it is, but I just know it's not very common. That was another piece to look up. Okay, as I described many of these, you're probably all going, well, now what the heck here? Why are we bothering with all of this? And what's coming out of this? Why do we want to even look at this at this point, and what's the spring cleaning part of it? So, okay, as I look at my own, I'm going to use my own example, my own life as an example here at this point. So I was raised Catholic, born into a very traditional family, and that meant going through being baptized as a child, going through religious education classes. It even meant going through a Catholic grade school, and the traditions that come into that, the Christmas, the Easter. Although the reality is a lot of those traditions kind of fell away from the religious part and became very secular in that, like, Christmas time is that gift giving that's important. It's the hanging out with the family with food and alcohol beverages in many cases. And, you know, the meaning behind Christmas fell to secondary to the tradition and the meaning behind, at that point, Christ's birth. Instead, it became a family food alcohol celebration for the most part, honestly. Yes, we did church. We went as, you know, a family wherever we were, whether it be at home, whether it be in my in Chicago, where many of my family members, my parents' family lived, all that. And so, you know, I as I've got older, I started looking at some of that and saying, well, what part do I want to participate in? What part doesn't fit me as well as it used to? What is the priority for me in all of that? As we look at Easter, yes, kids, as kids, we had the Easter basket. Yes, we had the 3 days of long church services, as we did Thursday night for the Last Supper, Friday for the crucifixion, Sunday for Easter service. As I got older, as I became an adult, and what we did is we pretty much avoided the services where there were the very long readings or the ones where the folks who were going to become Catholic were going to be going through the sacraments of baptism, First Eucharist, and confirmation all at the same service. But as I got older, I got to find out. I worked for a Catholic church, and I got to learn about some of those true traditions for my own religion. And I got to talk to some people that were converting to Catholicism from other faith traditions and say, what's up with this? Why are you choosing this at this time of your life? Because for the most part, it's adults. In some cases, it was families. In some cases, it was a spouse so that they could marry in the Catholic Church. But most people really chose it of their own accord. And it was very interesting because I think I got more about my own faith tradition talking to those folks than I did even in going to school in the Catholic Church. I got an opportunity to evaluate where some things came from and what parts of the traditions did I subscribe to and what parts had I struggled with my whole life. And listening to folks make their conversion, did it make a difference? And the interesting part is, in some cases, it did make a difference. You know, there were some practices that I said, I just don't get this. And when I talked to people newly coming into the faith, I heard them say what it meant to them. And it was a very different understanding from how I was raised, because they're coming from approximately a year's worth of studying to learn the faith. And so they learn all of those years that I had growing up in 1 year. And it's compressed. You know, as a little kid, you tend to learn some things, and because you learn them as a little kid, you might forget them. Or they might not mean the same when you get bigger, because, you know, you learn them on kid terms. And I think that's how many of us have gotten our spirituality. We grew up in families that had certain traditions. We had parents who, you know, maybe had their religion when they were living with their parents, and then they kind of dropped off as they got to be adults, and then they had kids and started freaking out that something might happen to their kids if they don't raise their kids with religion, so all of a sudden they go back to their religion of childhood, and that's how many of us were brought up. Sound familiar? I bet it does. And so then we learn that faith tradition because that's what our parents thought we should learn. So for me, as I got older, I started looking at different aspects of my religion. I didn't have a family. I don't have children. I did not get married. I almost did. But even with that, because of that, I started looking at my own faith tradition and saying, okay, what part of it must I have? What connection or what part of that must I connect to my potential partner and in my relationships? What must I have in order to have what I would believe a stable relationship? You know, some people look, when they look for relationships, they look at, you know, a certain type of job, a certain type of income, a certain look, a certain language they speak, a certain family culture. For me, I had to look at, for me, it was a priority that there was some spiritual connection. Now, that doesn't mean I did not date people that were outside of my spiritual beliefs. You know, I was with someone who was Jewish for a time. I was with someone who said he was atheist for a while. I had a very hard time with that one. However, not as much with a person who was Jewish because there was a God connection. You know, some of the other traditions weren't exactly the same, but that was okay for me. But the person who said, no, I don't know that I believe in any kind of God, anything outside of me, was very hard for me. And that's when I kind of started cleaning out for myself what I believed and what was the most important. There was a point where I felt the Christian, I want to say rule book, for lack of a better phrase, of the Bible got very important to me. My Catholic tradition at that point didn't discuss that. Yes, we'd have readings every week, and yes, the priest would have some lesson kind of sort of based on it, but I wanted something deeper than that. Didn't mean that I walked away from the Catholic Church at that point, because I didn't. Instead, I added on some Bible study at a fundamental Christian church. And the fun part about that for me was that very often the Sunday lessons, so to speak, whether you call it a sermon or a homily or a lesson or a talk or a presentation or a whatever, it doesn't really matter. But those connections had similar themes across the board. For some who don't know, the Catholic Church, and I think the Lutherans, run a 3-year rotation where they get through the entire Bible, at least the Gospels, in the New Testament, in where they go through all of them in a 3-year cycle. The Lutherans and the Catholics are slightly different for some reason. Like maybe they're spiritual leaders,
You know, but the funny part is that they still go through that 3-year rotation. And sometimes they overlap and sometimes they don't. And I think Methodist might be another one that does that. But they also have a rotation of scripture through the years. Interesting how those connect, even though they're very different. Who's the other one? Episcopalians do the same thing. And again, interesting how there's a connection, but they're not quite the same. And it's why people pick the various churches and religions they do. You know, there's various things in the churches that suddenly something happens, some political upheaval, I call it political, happens in their church. And so they switch churches, and it might be to a totally different religion, and it might just be to a different church within their chosen religion. Each church is a little different as well. You know, I discovered that, you know, some of the Catholic churches, let's see, still to this day, will do a lot with worshiping saints, worshiping Mary, believing in a heaven, hell, and a, oh boy, I just lost it. A limbo in between. Most of them do not, and that's been a change in from Vatican councils. Some of the other religions believe similarly, but slightly different. So anyway, so back on this. So, you know, I did my understanding of Christianity. I started doing some studying about this simply because I thought, well, okay, so as a kid, I couldn't be a priest. Why? Because they said women can't be priests. I have a problem with that. That women are not equal within the spirituality because why? Because Jesus was male? Jesus was described as male in all of our scripture. All of the disciples, the people who wandered the land all those many years with him, the 3 years with him were said to be male. Most of the leaders in the Bible were male. I got to understand that that was the leadership and the belief at the time, is that there was this significant difference between males and females. And a significant difference between what they could and could not do. And so I started investigating a little more and saying, okay, if I can't have any part of church leadership because I'm female, and that being a problem for me, what can I do instead? Can I look around? Where can I go to try to find a different connection? Different connection. And so I started looking. I went to the Unitarian Church. I went to Unity. I looked at Judaism. I looked at a lot of different things to see what part of my life, to any of these parts, and again, what is important to me versus what maybe isn't quite as important to me. And as I went into these various spiritual communities, I kind of was able to do this mental checkoff, saying, yeah, that connects well enough. Okay, I get that. No, that doesn't sit with me. and went through that whole process in each of the communities to see what came out and connected me the most in all of them. Did I physically do a check sheet or anything? No, I didn't do that. Although I know some people who have, as they're looking for new spiritual homes. And at the same time, I said, hey, wait a minute. Do any of these really resonate enough with me to change what I'm doing? Or more so, do any of them resonate with me? Or am I better off sitting at home, creating my own spiritual connection to the God of my understanding? You know what? That's what I ended up doing for a while. Is taking what I liked, taking what I connected to, and making that my spiritual road and spiritual path for the time. I invite you to participate in this conversation if you'd like. Again, you can join us in the chat room of Purpose Talk Radio. Otherwise, you can give us a call or Skype in 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Join us there. Like I said, I'd like to hear your opinion, your feedback, how you maybe developed your own spiritual journey in the process, and how you connect to these sacred days that we're in right now. So once I spent some time in the discussion with myself a little bit of how does all of this work, how do I connect to all of this, why am I doing this, and was able to really find the priority. I think I did it for about a year that I was kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to church. I don't feel like none of this quite works for me. Well, let me back up just a little bit. What I really found in most of my, what I discovered in most of my journey is that I really connected spiritually to the music that was part of the various congregations. In some cases, I joined because I was allowed to play guitar. I became part of their folk groups or their choirs or their worship teams. And music was very much my form of worship. So there were points where I was able to write music that was very spiritually based for a while. I look at that and wonder what I did with it because I don't know at this point. I found a couple of them and am amazed at how strongly they connect to what was my upbringing. Now, of course, I shouldn't be that surprised because it is what I was brought up with, you know. And yet some of it is even stronger than that was. It was a very, some of the music is very much a, for lack of a better word, a guilt-ridden, a God that is there to punish. And for me, that was part of what didn't work for me. So I've been very intrigued by how my music had gone that direction. And I don't know if it was written because of trying to understand that part of myself, or if it was that ingrained in me at the time. So now, since then, I went on a search again for a spiritual home, because I realized that for me it was important to be part of a community. It strengthened my spiritual understanding. It strengthened my prayer life. It strengthened my connection to other people and even to God through some prayer, which to me is speaking to God, through meditation, which is shutting my mouth and listening. And often that I don't do quite as often as I should, because then God will catch me when I'm in the shower or something and say, hello, remember me? I got some words for you. You just haven't been listening for me. I haven't been able to get in. So guess what? I'm here now. Oh, don't laugh. God and I are on this very direct conversation sometimes when I don't pay attention. But literally, it feels like I'm like, what? You know, I'm trying to take a shower and get out and run to work or run to school or run to... And that's kind of what I get. Well, guess what? You don't get me other times, so I'm going to come show up now. And I'll talk to you now, because I know you listen here, because you're not focusing on other things and you're, you know. So it's pretty cool. And again, I didn't have that my whole life. I've had that, you know, over the last 20 years or so. But anyway, so... as I looked for the spiritual home, I needed to have a place where that kind of connection to God was part of it. And I've not left the religion. I've left the religion per se. I've not left the foundation of the spiritual upbringing I had as a kid. That foundation is a part of me. But you know what? I've made it part of me. I've chosen to say, okay, this works. This belief for me in a triune God, a father / mother / supreme being over the top of everything, a Jesus, a son, a being that, you know, is here on earth that is like me, that, you know, that part that's here, this physical being that makes me who I am, that connects as a human body, and then the internal spirit for me, the internal voices, the understanding, the thing that for me sometimes determines right, wrong, go this way, go that way, the heart of what makes me function. That's how I kind of look at things now. And it is because of the clearing out of some of the guilt things that I had. It is in part because of my work and connection through my 12-step program. It's because I got so frustrated with some other things and being told, well, you can't be a part of this church if you're not here all the time and every Sunday, and unless you're on vacation. And if you're not here, you know, if you take a Sunday off just because you don't feel like coming to church, then don't come back to church. Yes, there have been churches that have said that to me. I won't say which one, but there was one that said that to me. And because of that, I walked away. That was not a spiritual connection to me. That was a very religious, man-made connection for me. So it was something I had to clear away, something I had to clean out. So now where I am, it feels mostly comfortable. There are some things I hear that I can't connect to. There are some lessons on a Sunday that I don't feel are exactly but I don't always feel the teachings are exactly as are demonstrated by everybody in leadership at the church. And you know, and that's okay. On those days, I can still what I like and leave the rest. And that's what's best for me. So where I personally stand right now, you know, I believe that in the divinity of Jesus, you know, that there is a connection to a God, someone that created portion of this world. I still believe that science has evolved what we see today differently. Because we, you know, there's been change of nature. There's been cross-pollination of seeds. There's been cross-breeding of animals. That's science, folks. That's evolved. So I don't know what part of the trees and the sky and the land and the sea and the stars and the whatever was first created by God versus what has evolved over the time based on humans, based on life, based on living. I can't tell you that. Do I believe it started somewhere and just didn't pop out of air? I do, because I can't just see something just popping out of nothing. That's me. I've had a really good discussion with some of my friends who believe it does. And I think they have a valid point on a lot of it. And I am grateful that they have their point. Because it allows me to, again, look at why I believe what I do and why I don't. So, on mine, I believe that Jesus was a teacher who came here to show us a better way to live than fighting and arguing. And but you know what? Guess what? Jesus had his moments too. There were times where he had to get away from all those folks because he needed quiet time. He needed time to talk to God. He needed time to relax, get away from people that were like always around him. Not sure Jesus wasn't an introvert too, because he needed that personal time. But you know, he had the sense, and yet some training to be able to express my own spiritual beliefs. I've been ordained as a minister. I'm looking at additional ordination in Unity Church right now, and what it takes. And none of it, even the ordinations, don't mean that I am any different than anybody else. It means that I myself have developed my spiritual belief system to a point that I believe I can express it and I can share it with other people. Do I do anything with that on a regular basis? No, I don't. Does it mean that I'm allowed to share with couples who are getting married or families who have a loved one that's died and do those services in a way that it will honor their spiritual beliefs? Yeah, I think that's what it does. I think that's all it really has done. You know, I believe that Jesus showed us a way to live, a good way to live. I believe that God, no matter what, is good and is always around me. I believe that people generally are good. Their actions, their activities, their words, their other stuff are not. There are times I forget that. Oh, yeah. There are times where I start grumbling about rather than their actions. If something doesn't hit me right, that's an area that I have to continue to work on spiritually. I'd say, hey, God, you know, whoever, whatever you are, give me some help here because, you know, these people are really bugging me. Why? What do I need to look at? What connection to them is not right? What do I need to do to remember that everybody is good? I'm grateful I have a spiritual community that reminds me of that. I'm grateful I have a few people knock me on my head sometimes and say, what are you doing? Why are you allowing that stuff to come into your head and come out of your mouth? Because what comes out your mouth, you start believing, even if, you know, instead of what's in your heart. Those thoughts, words, become actions. That, to me, has been proven time and time again. And sometimes it's frustrating. Even in my ideas of prayer, I can say stuff. And, you know, one of my friends reminded me yesterday of a very strong thing. You know, we can pray for something to happen. We can pray for, oh, I don't know. I can pray that I pass the test that's coming up in class. Okay, I passed the test. In the meantime, God was ready to give me understanding of the material I studied. So that comes to the next test, I'll still remember it. Hey, what a concept. So sometimes I short-sight myself. And although prayer is the connection to that higher being, I sometimes shortchange myself in what I think and how I act. And then above all, I do need to act on what I say. I'm not entirely there yet. But I found that my spiritual home, which connects that most often, is unity. It does not diminish what my base faith has been. It allows me to continue practicing what parts of my faith I have internalized and work on moving those wherever I can and wherever I'm comfortable doing it. Yeah. So that's what I have learned to clean out, clear out stuff that doesn't work anymore. Stuff that is, I've outgrown. I think I've outgrown it. But you know what? There may be a time where I come back to some of that. I don't doubt it. Again, that cycle. So I invite you to take a look at your own spiritual upbringing, your own spiritual beliefs, and find what really resonates with you. clear out the parts of your childhood or the parts that someone has just told you to believe. And take a look at your heart level, at your gut. What do you feel has really become a part of you? And I hope that you too can find a spiritual home, whether that be within your own home or a religious or church or center community that resonates with you. And because of things online, people can go where they want to go too. Oops, I just lost a caller. If you want to talk to us, feel free to come back on. I was just about to put you on 212 area code. You know, if you, find a place that you can call home. Sometimes we have to look online. We can't actually go to the ideal place within our own communities. Sometimes people are far away, too far away to actually make that connection. There's lots of stuff out there. So I invite you to do your research and make it your own. One last shot, 347-205-9074. 347-205-9074. If you wish to talk to us, press 1 or come on in on Skype. So that's where I am. That's where I hope you are as we celebrate this very sacred weekend. Whether you are Christian, Jewish, Sikh, Orthodox, pagan, atheist, something else. I'm not about to list all of these spiritual connections to a religion that are out there. So, I'll do one more thing for me. The difference between spirituality and religion. So, to me, a religion is a mass, a group of people that typically have a worship service or specific practices they do as a group. Versus spirituality, which is an internal, individualized belief system and practice. So typically religions have specific texts, books, beliefs that have come down through history and are then shared in a specific worship service. Whereas spirituality is more of a generic, individualized looking at things. And I think people can have spirituality without religion. They can also be in a place of worship and not really be connected to it, not have that same spirituality. So based on the spirituality, concern for that inner being, some call it a soul, some call it spirit, that inner being, that guidance system. As opposed to statues, buildings, places that often are equated to a religion and a history there. Maybe I should have started the show with that.
Yeah.
Maybe now is the right time to look at that. So So I hope you can all, you know, clean out your own spirituality. Connect to that something bigger than yourself, whether it's art or nature, a God, a supreme being, another person, the way you wish to live it. I appreciate your comments in the at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. You can also send me an email at cindy@purposetalkradio.com, purposetalkradio.com. If you want to continue this conversation, I'd love to have it. Like I said, it is one of my favorite discussions, is why do you believe what you believe? Who are you? Where have you come from? Some people call it philosophy. Some call it just general discussion. I'd love to have it. In the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, there is a post that's up there, I think, that identifies what that has this week's topic and date on it. And you are welcome to put your comments in there. If you want to share this or want to hear it again, please do so at the same link where the original was and share that off with folks. I invite you to do that. What else? I don't have a topic for next week. I'm waiting on a couple of guests to see if they're going to come in, but I get a feeling they're going to be waiting for another time, like this summer, a couple of them. But we'll see how that works. And, you know, in all of this, whatever you do, make it your own. You know, as that theme song, I Am Who I Am, by the group True Trinity says, you know, I am who I am, walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Truly believe that each of us has our own destiny. And as I leave you with an affirmation for this week, I think it's going to be very simply, I am following my own spiritual path. I'm following my own spiritual path that I have chosen, actually. Now I'll make it a little simpler. I'm following my own chosen spiritual path. How's that? Oh, semantics and how we can cut some words and make it a little stronger as we do that. And I've put that in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations post as well. So, yeah, I'm following my own chosen spiritual path. I invite you to find that path and move on with it. So the theme song for Purpose Talk Radio, as I mentioned, is I Am Who I Am by True Trinity. And until next week, I think I've covered everything. I wish you all soul blessings. And thank you for listening. Enjoy your weekend, however you celebrate and bring it to fruition. For me, I say happy Easter. For others, happy Passover. And others, just happy day. Thanks for listening.
I am me, I am who I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.